Friday, the 1st of September, is the day Catholic churches all over Italy celebrate the Day for the Safeguard of the Creation. This celebration comes on the heels of a heartfelt call by Pope Benedict XVI to take care of creation and not to waste its precious gifts.
Grande dono di Dio esposto a seri rischi da scelte e stili di vita che possono degradarlo.
Calling creation a great gift of God, the Pope said it's exposed to serious risks by the choices in lifestyles that may degrade it. He said environmental degradation makes the lives of the poor especially unbearable.
In dialogo con I cristiani delle diverse confessioni,
Pope Benedict added that along with Christians from all denominations, we must commit ourselves to taking care of creation without squandering its resources, which we should share with solidarity. His words brought someone really special to my mind. Someone who worked for many years here at the Vatican's Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace, and whose special concern has always been the environment. She's Sister Marjorie Keenan, a firm sustainer of the importance of looking after the world that God has given us.
If we believe in God the Creator, that is to say effectively believed in it, living out our life in accord with that belief, we would have to have consideration for creation. And we must remember that we are part of that creation, forming in a harmonious whole, but also different from the rest of the creation, in that we can make choices and are therefore responsible for what we do. Genesis tells us that God looked at creation and saw that it was very good after he'd completed everything. It was harmonious. And if we look around ourselves today, we would see how often that harmony has been destroyed.
And staying with the environmental theme, did you know that oceans cover almost 3/4 of the Earth's surface? That's quite a quota in God's creation, isn't it? And it's quite obvious that oceans are part of that wonderful whole Sister Marjorie is talking about, and need to be respected and protected, together with all the amazing creatures and plants that inhabit them. One of these creatures, no one can deny, is popularly portrayed as an evil predator, just lurking under the sea's surface and always ready for a kill. The fear sharks provoke in the general population is largely due to the shocking image given them by books and films that portray them as ruthless monsters out to terrify vulnerable bathers. But in fact, a shark expert told me, it's the sharks themselves who are vulnerable, so much so they are in growing need of protection as not to risk extinction. Why do so many myths surround them? They're not really the ferocious beasts the cinema and some books portray, are they?
No, not at all. Sharks are really quite misunderstood.
Sonia Fordham is the director of the Shark Conservation Program at the Ocean Conservancy and policy director for the newly formed coalition known as the Shark Alliance.
On the rare occasion that a shark bites a person, there's intense media coverage, but the odds of being bitten by a shark or even encountering a shark are quite small. And most sharks, there are nearly 400 species in the world. Most of them would never go near a human or pose any threat to human beings. But what people really need to understand is that sharks are actually among the most vulnerable animals in the ocean. They reproduce more like dolphins or even people than they do other fish like tuna or flounder. So in that I mean that they generally grow slowly, they mature late, and they produce a small number of young. So this makes their populations very vulnerable to overexploitation or overfishing, and then once their populations have become depleted, it can take many, many decades for them to come back to healthy levels.
Sonia has lots of interesting information about sharks, But she told me what she's most concerned about right now is an attempt on the part of Spanish representatives of the European Union to secure more lenient shark finning restrictions through the European Parliament. This would entail dire consequences for shark populations around the world. That's why, she said, a non-profit coalition of environment conservation groups called Shark Alliance has just been set up.
The Shark Alliance was founded this summer. It's a coalition of non-governmental organizations that have come together realizing that we have a real problem for shark conservation, particularly in Europe. So we're focused on improving European shark fishing policy, most immediately improving the regulation that is supposed to be banning the wasteful practice of shark finning, which is essentially taking sharks just for their valuable fins and discarding their bodies at sea.
Now, that comes as a real surprise to most, I think, to know that there's so much shark fishing in Europe. One usually thinks that happens on the other side of the world. And also, aren't shark fins a delicacy in the East?
Yes, shark fins are used as the principal ingredient in shark fin soup, which is a traditional Chinese delicacy, which is becoming more and more popular as more Chinese can afford it. Shark fins can be quite valuable. They can sell up to $700 a kilogram and traded to Asia for this use. But the shark fins come from all over the world, and Europe is a real major player in of the catch of sharks as well as the import and export of shark fins and other parts.
So Europe is playing a lead role in the overfishing, waste and depletion of the world's sharks, and Spain is the main culprit. What would the consequences be, I asked her, if Spain actually manages to obtain more lenient fishing restrictions?
If Spain came around and imposed more responsible fishing restrictions for sharks and finning regulations, we could really see an impact around the world, because Spain has fleets fishing in most oceans. And as I mentioned before, they are the most important player in shark policy in Europe, as well as shark fishing. And they're actually one of the top five major players of shark fishing import and export in the world.
At this point, I asked Sonia to tell me of the findings of a report Shark Alliance is releasing that pertains directly to this question.
Releasing a report that's sort of revealing the impact that Europe has on sharks, not only in European waters, but all over the world, because several EU fishing nations have fleets that cover the globe. In our study, we review the findings of the World Conservation Union, the IUCN Red List, and how many sharks are being added to that list as they're assessed. And essentially in Europe, about a third of the sharks that have been assessed are considered threatened by IUCN standards, and another 20% of sharks that have been evaluated are considered to be at risk for becoming threatened in the near future. So reviewed the inadequacy and lack of shark fishing regulations within Europe. So essentially inadequate restrictions on shark finning, and also lack of any real effective measures such as quotas or other limits on how many sharks can be removed from the ocean.
Sonia, how many species of sharks are there in Europe?
People probably find this hard to believe, but there are nearly 130 of species of sharks and their close relatives, the skates, the rays, and the chimeras.
In your report, you say they have an important role to play in the ocean's ecosystem. Can you tell me about that?
The biggest sharks in the world are actually filter feeders, but in general, most sharks are top predators, so they have an important role to play in the marine ecosystem in keeping other populations in check, sort of feeding on the weak and the wounded, and keeping other populations healthy.
So is that why it's so important to try and safeguard them?
Yeah, it's really important to keep sharks at levels where they can function in the ecosystem. We're unfortunately not doing a good job of that right now. Scientists predict that removing too many sharks from the ocean will have dramatic, not only ecological, but economic effects.
Where does your interest in sharks come from?
Yeah, that's a good question. I actually, when I started working on fish conservation 15 years ago, we had no shark fishing regulations in the United States. Now we have one of the most comprehensive management plans. But back then, the difference in protection for things like sharks versus species like dolphins and whales was really striking to me. And it was clear that sharks really needed an ally, that they have a difficult PR or public relations image to deal with. And that if we're going to conserve these important species in the ecosystem, that they were going to need some support.
Well, have you ever thought of sharks in that way? Creatures who need support? I certainly hadn't. But if this is the way things are going, it rings true that something must be done fast to save these creatures, whom I found out have been around since before the dinosaurs. Apart from the work you're doing within the European Union to improve fishing policies, what is being done in the world to save sharks?
Well, there has been increasing awareness to the plight of sharks. And in 1999, the Food and Agriculture Organization of the United Nations, which is based in Rome, adopted an international plan of action for sharks, which calls on fishing nations to do many things to safeguard sharks, including coming up with national and regional plans of action for conservation and management of sharks. Unfortunately, there's been very little progress on this initiative. So there are several countries around the world that continue to call for fishing nations to come up with plans of action for sharks. There are a few species of sharks that are listed under international wildlife treaties, and that's encouraging, but again, we need concrete actions to back up those decisions.
I asked Sonia if she's optimistic.
Well, I'm optimistic in that I've seen the image of sharks change. I think younger generations are more aware that sharks are important parts of the ocean ecosystem. And there have been a lot more decisions and a lot more policies adopted for shark conservation in the last 10 years. But at the same time, sharks are exceptionally vulnerable. Many populations have been severely depleted, and we really need to step up the pace if we're going to actually conserve sharks and in many cases save species from extinction.
Is there anything the average person can do?
Yes, I think the average person can do a lot for sharks, and in fact, that might be the only hope for sharks, and that is in general to educate others and let people that make policy, fisheries ministers in particular within Europe, to let them know that you're concerned about sharks and that you support safeguarding them and stringent conservation measures, particularly an effective ban on the wasteful practice of finning.
So, the next time you go swimming, should you manage to catch a glimpse of the large-eyed rabbit fish, the velvet-bellied dogfish, the cuckoo ray, the little sleeper shark, or the blue pygmy skate, consider yourself lucky. They're all God's creatures and have every right to be there, just doing what sharks must do and playing their important part in conserving the creation.